Here is Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes so that he will not walk about naked and the man will not see his shame. Dear Heavenly Father, today we're going to conclude the message of that I'm coming like a thief in the night. Lord, I ask your presence at this time and you anoint this servant's head and the lips and the presence of yourself be revealed. In this time, we give you glory, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we're going to conclude the message of I'm coming like a thief, number 7. The one third of the Bible is filled with a prophecy. Old Testament is talking about mostly the first coming of Jesus Christ, and also some mentioned also second coming too. But mostly on New Testament, the second coming of Jesus Christ is about the prophecy. The most important things of the Bible in the prophecy. The next prophecy in the Bible is to fulfill the rapture, which is the most exciting part of the whole human life in Christian history. About 17 years ago, to be exact, October 1992, there was a big rumor and the deceptions about the rapture. But since then, it became a great stumbling block and for all Christians. Churches, they even talking about the rapture, it makes so funny. And then disappointment. It was a Satan's huge victory over the body of Christ, which shuts the mouth of a majority of the churches. As a result, many Christians in the last days lost their hope for the kingdom of heaven and barely holding on their abstract image of their eternal home. Many pastors ignore the Bible's end-time prophetic messages and kill the blessed hope of Jesus' soon return. And all they teach and preach is to become rich and prosperous and live longer in this earth and serve the church well. So basically, when the hope of the rapture, blessed hope, is lifted up from the church and there is no reason to look up in heaven, and all they have to look at is the on the earth and live daily life, a routine. However, regardless of the church's obedience or not, or blind or opened, as the time has come to fulfill his promise of the Lord, and the Lord called me to preach this important messages for the past 6 weeks in the title of Behold, I'm Coming as a Thief in the Night. Today, I will conclude the message in the same title of number 7. Before the preaching of I'm Coming Like a Thief in the Night, the Lord wanted me to teach about the kingdom of God in series of a total 7. And the project, The Strong Hope in Heaven. Therefore, total of 14 weeks I'm teaching about the knowledge and anticipation of the kingdom life in heaven while we're still living on this troubled world. The first week I shared that Jesus, our bridegroom, is coming like a thief in the night. And the second week I taught about Israel, the apple of God's eye, and our prophetic time clock is in related to Iranian and Middle East countries and their situations. And the third week, And we studied about the signs of heaven and the extreme weather changes, which describes in the Bible. And the fourth week, we discovered the God's coming judgment with the sword and famine and the plague from the Old Testament pattern. And fifth week, we continued of discovering the downfall of American economy as a part of the famine and the one world economy, which is the global economy. And the sixth week, I showed a model of Antichrist from Exodus, where the new king, Pharaoh of Egypt, who did not know Joseph. And today, the seventh week, I'm going to talk about the reign and control by Antichrist and the mark of the beast. And this message is to be heard who are left behind and after the rapture. So I'm kind of have a heavy heart to convey this message. If you're not prepared for the return of the Lord Jesus and no hope in heaven, and you will face Jesus precisely as a thief in the night. The Lord Jesus has been waiting in a long suffering for our preparations. He showed all the signs of the times in the last days before our eyes. To Jesus, the title of coming like a thief in the night is almost like insulting and a total unbelieving unto him. Many saints who are waiting for Jesus' return prepares their time according to Jewish feast, like a Passover and Pentecost in the spring and the Feast of the Trumpet and the Tabernacle in the fall. However, these feasts shadow or model of Jesus' first and second coming, but nobody knows the day or hour of his return, but only the Father in heaven. Therefore, the rapture can happen anytime now. That is an exciting part of our hope. Many Bible scholars believe that Antichrist is still right now at this moment alive and well, but he himself does not know that he is Antichrist. Why? Because the rapture must take place first. Then Satan will activate his power and his glory to him. Let's look at the scriptures in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. And it says, "Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed earlier, either by a spirit or message or a letter as it from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy come first. Then the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destructions." As we can read the scripture, the apostasy of the church must come first, which means the falling away from the church. You can see the people who used to come to church and they're very zealous for the Lord and have a fire of the Lord. And few years later, they're falling away and they're no longer they keep the same fire. They lost the first love and they're slowly going back to the word. And this is taking place right now, which we see the signs. And then this is the sign, and the rapture takes place, and the man of lawlessness, which is the Antichrist, and the son of destruction will be revealed. And also, in this world, Satan is the king of this world. Jesus didn't deny that. And in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, the very, very well-known verses. "The devil led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in the moment of a time. And the devil said to him," him and Jesus, "I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I will give to whomever I wish." I will give it to whomever I wish, which means all the glory and the dominion of this world, whomever Satan wishes, he can give to him. But of course, Jesus, he declined. And this will happen. His activation of the power to Antichrist will happen right after the rapture. But there will be brides of Christ to go to rapture, and they are very, very small. This is very surprising, and this we should pay close attention. I would say the majority of the churches do not know the rapture had happened, but their family members know. They would report them as a missing persons. News media will talk about it for a couple of weeks. Then it is going to be quiet. The business will go as usual. The remaining pastors will persuade the congregation that it was a deception and tell them, look at me, I'm still here. There's no raptures. But some received a vision from God that a mad group of people rushed to their churches and grabbed the pastors and beat them and then killed them because his false teaching, and they were left behind. This will happen. But when the rapture happens, the restrainer will leave with the rapture saints. And it says in the Bible, 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2 again, in verse 6 and 7. And you know what to restrain him now, and so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. This restrainer is actually the mystery. And many Bible teachers, they interpret a little differently. But I read in a book that a pastor, and he had puzzles about this, the meaning of the restrainer. So he prayed and asked the Lord, what is that meaning exactly, the role of the restrainer? And the Lord showed him the vision, and this restrainer plays as like a canopy of the church or the body of the Christ or each individual. And when the canopy of the restrainer of the Holy Spirit, the angel's hands was lifted up, and then there's no protections over church, no protections of the body of Christ. And the Lord showed him the vision when he saw the airplane was flying up high, and then all of a sudden, and without no reason, it just crashed down on the ground. And another vision, he saw the long train was riding and going in fast, but all of a sudden the train was derailed, and several hundred people was crumbling in and down and killed. And this is because when Satan was attacking, and this airplanes and the trains and the mass transits, and with there's no protections of the Holy Spirit. So what we have to understand this is every day when we drive, every day when we do our the work and routines, and we have no accidents, we come home safely, we come to church safely. This is by God's grace, and this is by the protection of the angels and the Holy Spirit. We should thank him all the time. And this is what we have to understand. When the rapture takes place, this restrainer, great parts of the restrainer covering and protecting the saints and the body of Christ, will be lifted at the same time. And so the remaining church will go through the terrible tribulations and severe persecutions. And many Christians will die and beheaded, or they will go underground, just like the communist countries. The safety of the church is gone with the restrainer, and it will be like a Christians of a Muslim countries or the communist countries. When the people enjoy their lives in peace and safety, and the Bible says 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 3, while they're saying peace and safety, and then sudden destructions will come upon them, and suddenly, like a labor pains upon a woman with a child, and they will not escape. This is exactly for those who were not prepared will experience when the rapture takes place, and then after that, and then there's no peace, there's no safety. And we have to think, and we should appreciate, we should give thanks to the Lord every day. The raptured brides in heaven will appear at the Christ long waiting wedding feast of the little lamb. And in Revelation chapter 9, verse 7 through 9 describes very beautifully. It says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her cloth herself in the fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Then he said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." Yes, indeed, the true bride will be attending the marriage supper, the wedding feast of Jesus Christ, which Jesus Christ himself has been waiting since the church has birthed for 2,000 years. What a moment, and what a glorious picture, even if we imagine. And the Antichrist will appear in the world as a great leader solving many troubles of this world. And that's the next sequence, that's the next steps. But let's make clear about the rapture and the sequence of that, the events. It will be before the Antichrist will be appeared, which means before the Antichrist identified, the rapture will take place. And I know there's different theologies on that, and pre-trib and mid-trib and post-trib. But this is the form belief of coming from the many Bible-believing scholars, and also the spiritual revelation also from different saints and these lay people. They saw the visions, and for sure this rapture will take place before the tribulations. And Jesus will meet us in heaven with the shout of archangel's trumpet sounds and the very well-known scriptures. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 through 17. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we shall always be with the Lord forever. The saints, the brides, will go into the Father's house." And this is what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 3. "If I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus said this before he went to cross, and that was 2,000 years ago. And now it's about time that we're about to see him, his face, and then going back to our old home, our eternal home. Most people cannot see this rapture because it happens a twinkle of the eyes, but some may see it because right next to the person, and all of a sudden, and that person disappeared, you know that rapture had happened. But Satan does not know, and Satan does not, he does not know when, and he cannot do anything about it. Apostle Paul said, "It is a mystery." Mystery of the secrets in the Bible. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a twinkle of an eye." What a moment that will be. And soon after the rapture, the judgment of God and his wrath will proceed. The next, I'm going to talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ on the earth. The second coming, Jesus will come visibly on earth as a great judge. In Revelation 19, verse 14 and 15, and the armies which are in heaven and clothed in white linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, and so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with the rod of iron, and he treads the winepress and of the fierce wrath of God Almighty. So you can see the judgment of the God's wrath is about to come on when Jesus is his physical appearance on this earth. This is the second coming of Jesus Christ. And sign of Jesus Christ will appear in the sky, and all the people will cry and mourn. That's Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 30. And we read, and then the signs of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with the power and the great glory. So you can see at the time of Jesus physically return on this earth, and everybody will see the signs of his appearance in the sky, and also the whole earth, all the tribe of the earth will mourn. Why they mourn? Because some, they're so glad to see him, some they're fearful of the judgment, because they did not believe in Jesus Christ, and they have a full of sins. And here again, and all people will see him, and that's for sure. Again, we read Matthew 24:30, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn and see the Son of Man coming. And also in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. What does that mean? That even those who pierced him. We know that in the scripture, the Roman soldiers who pierced Jesus' side with a spear. And is he going to be alive and see him coming back? I believe this scripture means those people who hate Jesus. Actually, Jesus came physically from the words. The words become flesh, and that's Jesus. When people hate the words of God, when people hate the Bible, they actually hate Jesus. So those people who hate the Bible, the people who really hate Christians, they are treated same as those who pierce him. That is what I believe. So they will also see Jesus with their naked eyes, and they will mourn and they'll cry and ask for forgiveness. And Satan will be bound and thrown into hell when Jesus comes as a great judge, and that's the end of all the sins, and the Satan and the Antichrist and all the follower of Antichrist will be bound and thrown into hell. And that's Revelation 20, chapter 1 Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and the great chain in his hands. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and the Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he would not deceive the nations for any longer, until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. So for 1,000 years, all the evils, the wicked things with Satan and the devil has been deceiving and lying and causing the sins, they will be stopped. What a day will be. What a day will be. And then God's wrath and the judgments on the earth will continue. And this is what we can see and all through the book of Revelations. It is already prophesied by the Old Testament prophets a long time ago. It repeating the days of the Lord and the days of Jacob. And this is what they're referring to, God's judgment days. The true brides of the Christ are not on the earth. And through Revelation chapter 6 through 18, there's no mention in the church. And God's judgment will proceed during the time, but the true bride, the churches, will be up in staying in heaven and attending the marriage feast with the Lamb of God. And the next step, the Antichrist will reign and control on the earth as a global government. This is actually right after the rapture. The Antichrist will control all this, the earthly government, and control the all the human beings. And the spirit of Antichrist will appear to spirit. Actually, the spirit of Antichrist has been since the early first church years. If we read the 1 John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, Apostle John, he says, "Children, it is the last hour. Just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this, we know that it is the last hour." So, therefore, we can see the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist has been prevailing already and since the early church days. But now it's getting stronger and more prevailing, and as the time of the real Antichrist about to appear. And Antichrist was identified in the Bible as a man of lawlessness or the son of destructions. And we read this again in the 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, verse 3. "Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed," which is Antichrist, and the son of destruction, the same, the Antichrist. So you can see every year when the time of Antichrist appear is getting closer and closer, you see the crime is increased every year. It's before our eyes, and every time we watch the news, that we see, we witness this. And also the deception of the wickedness. This is the big deceptions with in the political arena, in the commercials and the business, even in the church, the deceptions of the wickedness is so rampant. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, and the first part of chapter 10, I mean verse 10, that is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of a Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deceptions of the wickedness for those who perish. See, these, the deceptions of the wickedness, this is the very typical characteristics of a Satan. And so much so, and this, the spirit of Antichrist, and they're determined to deceive and lie and not revealing the truth, especially in the body of Christ. So we have to really pay attention what is taking place in our surroundings. And the Antichrist is also called beast. This is a very common name of referring of Antichrist. And Revelation chapter 13 is all about the beast. And then also Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. The beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence, and by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast, and those who worshipped his image, and those these two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with a brimstone. See, this Antichrist and the false prophets, they will be bound alive, thrown into the lake of fire, which burns with a brimstone. And also in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, the devil who deceives them was thrown into the lake of fire and the brimstone, where the beast of the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented days and night forever and ever. So here again, we see the devil himself, the Satan himself, who deceived so many people. And there, he is thrown into the lake of fire and the brimstone, where the Antichrist and the false prophets there already. So the very lastly, the Satan himself will be caught and then bound and then chained with the chain and then thrown into the lake of fire. That's the end of all the Satan's Satan's loss and defeat. And of course, we have to remember the number of his name or the beast that we have to know, that 666, the very well known verse of in the Revelation chapter 13, verse 16 through 18. And he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, and be given mark on their right hand or on their forehead. He provides that no one will be able to buy or sell, except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. Let him who has the understanding calculate the number of a beast, for the number is that of a man, and that his number is 666. See, this number of the beast, which is 666, many Bible teachers, or even the pastors, they take this as a symbolic numbers. So they don't emphasize that the number of the beast or the number of Antichrist take it very seriously. But I urge you, I strongly emphasize you, do not take this number of this mark of the beast. This is not symbolic. This is real. As much as you can see with your own eyes, either right hand or the forehead, this is real. Once you receive, that's the end of your salvation. No matter how hard you work for the life, for the church, all your life you serve the church, all your life you're a missionary, and all your life you carry the Bible, it doesn't matter. At that point, when you take the mark of the beast, the number 666, in your right hand or your forehead, and your relationship with Christ is over, and that's the end of it. You lose your salvation, and there's no hope. And Bible clearly says that. I'm going to explain to you a little bit more. But for another, the point that we have to consider, because the devil is so conniving, and the devil is bringing all the humanistic consideration. Oh, we have a little children, they have nothing to eat, they're suffering, and we have to go out to the store and buy something. Oh, we have an elderly person and suffering, and we have to buy some medicine. So we have to take this mark of the beast that's provided by the government's new ID system. This is nothing harms, and this is only our new identification. You can say that, but in fact, for your interpretation, and you will say, oh, God will understand our situation. God is love and God is grace, and He will understand my family situation. He loves our children. He loves our elderly mom and dad. But you have to make clear decision before you take the mark of a beast, because the Bible says in right next chapter, in Revelation chapter 14, verse 9 through 11, I'm going to read you very slowly because this is so important. Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worship the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. Look at this. The wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with a fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Wow. And the smoke of their torments go up forever and ever. They have no rest day. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast and his image, whoever received the mark of his name. Let me read you again in verse 11. Then the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. Why? Because they received the mark of the beast, and God's judgment, anger and wrath come upon them. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever received the mark of the beast. This is what Bible says very clearly, right next chapter, that God warns not to take this mark of the beast. But I can tell you, many people who don't take this message seriously, they will go because their situation and what they see is more important than what they shows in the Bible and in the truth. So you have to make a decision. Are you going to follow what you see and what you need in your the visual circumstance, or you want to believe, you want to stick with the truth in the Bible, and the choice that you have to make. And you cannot blame no one else but you, because you make a final decision. It is very, very important. And many Christians will be persecuted, and many Christians will be killed. Actually, they will be beheaded. The true repentance, and that's where the true repentance of the lukewarm Christians And when they have the true repentance and crying out to God and repent their all the sins and transgressions and iniquities, and then the great revival of the church and many souls will be saved at that time. That's what I believe. Without that true repentance and the breaking their hearts and the breaking their clothes and then sackcloth, put on the sackcloth and put the ashes over their heads like an Old Testament. This is what we have to cry out to God, the true repentance before that the true repentance of the transformation. There's no revival and no harvest of the souls can take place. And because we're so much in the fake deceptions that we're living, and we say that we repent by the lip service only, but in our hearts and our action did not follow. That's not the true repentance, and the devil knows it, and God knows it, and so we have to. Truly, down the earth and down deep in our heart, we have to confess our sins and then repent, and then turn around the wicked way. That's what God wants us to do. It is important, very important, to know what happened to the unbelievers who do not take the mark of a beast. Now, many people ask, what about the people who did not take a mark of a beast, but they did not believe the true believer? What happened to them? Well, let me tell you, this is very important. That's a good question. For those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, and even if he or she did not take the mark of a beast, they cannot go to the kingdom of heaven. They cannot go to heaven. Because the Bible says, if you want to go to heaven, even in the last days, you should believe Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and repent all your sins and must be born again in the Holy Spirit. And then when you didn't take the mark of the beast, then you'll be saved. But if you are survived, but without taking the mark of the beast, and you cannot go to the kingdom of heaven. And don't get confused on that. Now, I'm going to talk about the mark of the beast, and that the Revelation chapter 13, and this is going to be a new ID. Now, we have a driver's license, we have a social security cards, and we have a passport, but this new system, the government is going to issue a new ID. This is a global, I'm talking about not only in America, but around the world, global, a new ID system. This is called the mark of the beast. It is going to be issued RFID. It's a radio frequency identification. It's a small microchips, and tiny microchips will be implanted on our right hand or forehead, which has all my personal data. It will be stored in that microchip. It is not going to be a tattoo. It's the small microchip will be implanted. It's going to be visible. Right hand or forehead. Anyone can see, but at the beginning, or the voluntary base, they're gonna offer the first some kind of incentives. When it's gonna happen? When that will start? After the rapture, and maybe 3.5 years past the time, and at that time, and we can actually count down the time of the Jesus' second coming, because the Bible says 3.5 years and 1260 days and 42 months. And so if you did not take the mark of the beast, and if you go underground, if you hide, and you can stay put and then hide yourself for 42 months, the 3.5 years, and if you keep your faith, and you will survive, and you will be going into the millennium, we will be united with the Christ. So it is very important to know all this, the Bible facts regarding the mark of the beast. It is also necessary to buy or sell, and no one cannot buy a thing without the mark of beast. Since this is the hidden secrets. I mean, even if you have the money, unless you have the mark of the beast on your right hand or forehead, and you cannot use the money. And many people, oh, if I have the money and I can buy whatever I want to. That's not true. Even if you have the money, and when you want to use it, and they have to scan, they have to wand your microchip so that your personal information will go into the central data system, and automatically they extract all your the transaction will take place. So it is important that the money that you have hiding somewhere, or the money that you have in your bank, that doesn't do any good unless you have the mark that you receive. That's why, and this the mark of the beast, that it is so mandatory that everybody has to take it, that so they can survive. But for the true believer, the true Jesus Christ, the follower, should not take this mark of the beast. Prophet, I mean, many false pastors will ask a congregation to receive the mark because they say this is a symbolic. It's okay. It's okay. You can buy and sell. You have to survive, and you have to you can take the mark of the beast. That's a lie. Don't take that words. That's they're taking you into hell. And don't take that words seriously. All believers must not, I repeat, all believers must not receive the mark of the beast. But all unbelievers, they will take the mark. This is a very sad, sad moment. And all who receive the mark of the beast will be tormented with the fire and brimstone. That's what I read in Revelation chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. And it is a scary story. It is a scary story, but it is a true story in the Bible. Please, I urge you, I beg of you, do not take the mark of the beast. You follow the Christ all the way. And the coming to the kingdom of heaven is not broad way, it's not wide way. Jesus said clearly in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, the coming to the kingdom of heaven is a very narrow way. After you pass through the small and narrow gate, and you still take the narrow street and then a narrow path all the way. And that's your choice. And you can take the easy way, you can take the broad way, and you can take the comfortable way. But the consequence, the reward, will be given to you in the heaven, because God is watching over you, and the devil and the Satan will tempt you, and the devil will deceive you and lie to you. It's okay, you can take the broad way. It's okay, everybody will go that way. You can go and live comfortable and the easy way. There is no easy way, and there is no wide way road to go to heaven. And please take the words of God. And this is what the truth. Now, in conclusion, at in Revelations 16:15, the Lord Jesus is going to come to in the peak of the great tribulation and the judgment. It is at that worst battle of the human history, the Armageddon War, and Jesus is still showing in his warning to his hidden saints, "Behold, I'm coming like a thief, and blessed is he, the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes, so that he will not walk about the naked, and the man will not see his shame." And this is what Jesus said to the last day's church. Remember the church of Laodicea? And Jesus, he warned them. This is the very typical today's church, the last day's church. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, "I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire." I advise you to buy from me a gold refined by fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salves to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. you might not blind. And this is what Jesus said to the last day's church, the last today's church, as a matter of fact. He still loves his church. Jesus still loves Laodicean church. And don't misunderstand me. Jesus still loves, still gives a chance to the last day's Laodicean church, today's church. That's why he's given the opportunity to repent, turn back your wicked way and come back. And then what you are seeing, what you're experiencing, what you have, what you possess is only temporary. But the truth, the way I see, is that when you have that you are rich and you're wealthy, you have no need of lack. But what Jesus said, the way I see you is that you're poor, you're naked, you're miserable, and you're blind, and you have no future. But so because Jesus still loves this Laodicean church, his body, that he gives a chance, he gives opportunity to repent, and then you buy a gold from me, which is refined, and then you put the clothes and cover your the shameful the parts. And then also you put the eye salves on your eyes so you can open your spiritual eyes to see the true identity of yourself, because the wicked one is coming and deceiving, and all the Satan's deception is coming now into the churches today, and they're deceiving everybody. Everything is going to be fine, and everybody will go to heaven, and the life is good, and this is all just prevailing, the lying and deception. If you truly follow Jesus Christ and his bride, you must be truly born again, and then you must be like his disciple, the follower of Jesus Christ. And then if you want to do that, you have to first deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ every day, no exceptions. The pastors and elders and the deacons and deaconesses, they're all same. This is a Jesus commandment. If you want to follow me, if you want to become my disciples, if you want to truly become my bride, then you have to take up the cross. There's no easy way. There's no shortcut. Believe me, my brothers and sisters, he is still gives his chosen people the hope of heaven. And these are the hidden people in the underground seeking Jesus' face to face day by day, and come, Lord Jesus. This is what the today's scripture, Revelation 16:15, and this end time, the hidden Jesus' saints, they're still still waiting, and Jesus is giving the hope for them. And Jesus, again, even to those people, not be naked and with a shame, and keep his clothes, and remember what Jesus said. Again, he loves still to, he loves us, he loves all the churches who have committed sins, still giving a chance. And put on the white garment. My dear friends, we're living the last of the last days, and we see that his nearness every day through the signs, and we can almost hear his step of a coming back. And we can anticipate his sudden appearance in the air, in the clouds. And we can anticipate the hearing of the archangels, the trumpet sounds. And come up here, and I'm ready. And be patient, my friends, and a little bit more, and with a full expectancy. And Jesus said, I will come as a thief in the night. And this is what his promise and his love for his church. May the Lord bless you, and to be all caught up in the air to be with Jesus. And this is my true prayer. May you open the spiritual eyes to see the things clearly and vividly and correctly, accurately, that His coming is very, very soon and near. And so that you prepare, you repent, you get away from all your sins, and then you follow Jesus with taking up your cross and denying yourself. This is the only way to be caught up before it is too late. God bless you in Jesus' name.